Go ahead and stand in honor of God's Word this morning. Romans chapter 2, we're just kind of plugging along. This is the ninth message from the book of Romans, and this will be the last message from chapter 2, and then we'll move on, Lord willing, to chapter 3. So it took us 6 to get through chapter 1 and 3 to get through chapter 2. Unless I only preach half of it and then have to come back and do that. No, let's look at this. Boy, there's a... The judgment of God is real. The judgment of God will be upon those who want nothing to do with God, even though they don't think they want to have anything to do with God. They are without excuse. And then we saw the last couple of messages, the self-righteous will be judged. The good person shall be judged. And this morning we're going to see that the religious person is going to be judged. Now, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, they considered themselves to be religious. They considered themselves to be God's chosen people, and they are. Amen. But just because of who they are as a nation does not make them saved by the grace of God. Amen. So religion is going to be judged. The heathen is going to be judged. The self-righteous is going to be judged. And the good person is going to be judged. You know why? Because we're trying to get to chapter 3 where the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So here's what he said. Paul said this, behold, thou art called a Jew and retest in the law and makest thy boast of God and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law. So listen to this. He says, you call yourself a Jew, you make a boast of God, you know the will of God because you have the instruction from the law, you are confident, verse number 19, and are confident that thyself are a guide of the blind and a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest that thou thyself, thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through the breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not the uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if ye fulfill the law, judge ye who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is in one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is an outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, let me just tell you, there's a lot to unpack in those verses. But if you could just get down to the simplicity of it, it's this. Your religion and your standing and nationality, and let me just put it like this. Just because you go to church, just because you were born into a Christian family, just because you know some things about the Bible, doesn't make you saved by the grace of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God, help us today as we look at this passage of Scripture. Help us to understand that those that do not want anything to do with God in chapter 1 are without excuse and will still be judged by God. But Lord, there is also a different category of people, and those are the people that are very self-righteous, very sanctimoniously religious, think they're okay. They've checked all the boxes. They're not like chapter 1, so they should be okay. And that they believe that God should accept them as they are because they're not like other people. Yet any self-righteousness is judged. The person who thinks he is good or better, then others shall also be judged. And then, Lord, I look at this passage of Scripture as you look right at the Jewish nation of Israel. And really, they were the epitome of religion. They were very religious people. And they thought because that God had given them the covenants, because God had given them the circumcision, that God had given them the law, even though they had those things and had great advantage, because, Lord, if you have the Bible, you have a great advantage. But what good would it be for us to live in America, have the freedom of religion, to go to church, have a Bible, but yet die and go to hell because we think because we're religious, that's good enough. God, help us today to understand the truth contained within the Scripture here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, I'll say it again. There's a whole group of people described in chapter 1 who don't want anything to do with God. In fact, they want to live in their sin. They want to have pleasure in their sin. We know that God is in many cases turned people like this over to reprobate thinking, not thinking correctly. And so the Bible makes it very clear because of creation, because of the consciousness that God has placed within man. Hey, they are without excuse. Nobody is going to be able to stand before God and say, well, I'm just, no. But think about this. So those are the people that they don't want anything to do with God. They mock God. They mock the things of God. They have pleasure in their sin. They go against anything that is moral and right in a society. They're without excuse. But then God says, but there's another group of people who are moral and who do keep the laws and who do look at things, and they become self-righteous in, well, then God maybe should accept me because I'm not like chapter 1. But that they're without excuse. And then we saw last week the good person, the person that shows the word. I mean, they think they're okay because they're good. I mean, I'm better than other people. There's people like that sit in churches every week and think they're good enough. And they're not saved. They have no relationship with Christ. I know this. When I realized my lost condition, when I tried to convince myself that I was okay, I understand this mode of thinking because I thought, well, listen, I need to go to church. I need to get a Bible. I need to clean up my life. I need to do all those things are good, but and they're moral and right. But that's not a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then Paul, he is reminded of those people that are Jewish, the people like him, the people that grew up under the law, the people that were very religious. I mean, if you think about it, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were some of the most religious people of the day. And Paul, no doubt, is thinking about these Jews because he was one. He was a Pharisee. He understood that he persecuted the church of God. And he thought because of his religion and because he was a Jew and because he was of the lineage of Abraham and because of all the things he did and the rituals they did, hey, if anybody's going to be accepted by God, it's God's chosen people. I mean, we are out, after all, we're the nation of Israel. After all, we have the law. Now, and listen to me, I'm going to preach next week. If you look at chapter 3 and verse number 2, look at this. Because Paul would say, does the Jew have an advantage? And Paul would say, he does, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. So he said, yes, there is an advantage if you have God's Word. And so next week I'm going to really preach on those who have great privileges have great responsibilities. But in this passage of Scripture, he doesn't speak about specifically the oracles of God, which would probably include the Old Testament, all of it. But he does talk about how that they've been instructed by the law in verse number 18. He says, you've been instructed out of the law. He says in verse 18, you knowest His will. Why? Because you know the Ten Commandments. You understand the law that has been given. He said in verse 17, you call yourself a Jew. You makest yourself a boast of God. So here's what I would say to you as we get started. The Jewish people were of a great privilege. They had a great privilege. We could say that they had a great heritage. They were the apple of God's eye. They were God's chosen people. And they still are God's chosen people. Let's don't forget that. But they have rejected as a nation, as a people, as a heritage. Literally, they have rejected the Messiah, which is Jesus Christ. So you know what God's going to say to them? You're without excuse. In fact, you've had great heritage. You're the apple of God's eye. You're the chosen people of God. I was the one that made a covenant with you. I gave you the law of God. And you're confident. You think that you are, you think you're the instructor of the foolish. Verse number 20. You think you're the teacher of babes. You have a form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. You have these things. But then he would go on to say, but you break the law because you're a sinner. The entire history of Israel is one of this. Unique privilege, great relationship with God. If you're reading right now through the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, you can understand that there is a relationship between the God of this universe and this nation called Israel as He's led them out of captivity. He's taking them across the Red Sea on dry land. He has placed them in the wilderness where He has fed them for 40 years. It is time for them to go into the promised land. Hey, listen, that is a privileged nation. And God says, you have all of these privileges. You have this unique relationship with God. No other nation had been called the people of God. Paul speaks about the blessed privileges of the Hebrews. He shows them even the religious man, though, is lost if he doesn't know Jesus Christ. And so, yes, they had great privilege. Yes, they had a great heritage. But Paul is going to disprove this defense of the Jew who depended upon his nationality, who thought the possession of the law and circumcision was a way to escape the judgment of God. It's like people who are so religious. And my friend, there are many, many, many religious organizations across the world. If you want to talk about religion, you could talk to Brother Boonstra. And I guarantee you, in every country that he's been to, where there is the preaching of the gospel, there's also false religions. It doesn't matter what nation it is. Doesn't matter what country it is. There are false. If it is outside the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation through Jesus Christ, it is a false gospel. But yet there are some of the most religious people in the world, in the Middle East, in Africa. There's many, many religious people in India. Man, some of the most religious people you will ever see in India and in Pakistan and other places. But if it's not a faith in Jesus Christ, it's just that, a religion. But yet, like the Jew kept the circumcision and had the law and had a knowledge of God and all of these kind of things. Listen, that is no different than a false religion who practices something but has no relationship with Jesus Christ. So nationality, good works, they're not going to benefit when you stand before God. You're not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, I was born in America. I was born a Christian. I was born into a Christian family. But God will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. If the Jews and the Gentiles will both be judged by God, then the question becomes in the text, is there really any advantage of being a Jew? Well, the answer is yes, of course there is. Because you have an advantage if God gives you the truth. Let me say this. You have a great advantage if you were born in the United States of America. You have a great privilege. You actually live in a country, one of the only countries in the world, where it is okay to have freedom of speech and freedom of religion. It is okay to go to church. That is not the case in every culture. And so it is a great privilege. But you know what our world does today? They don't take stock in that privilege. They do not take advantage of the privilege to go to a place where the Bible is open and preached. Somebody say amen. So we have great advantage. I'm very thankful. I mean, I think about this a lot. I'm thankful for where I was born. I'm thankful for my family and my church and all that. So it was an advantage. In fact, again, when I preached next week, it said, what profit is there in chapter 3, verse? What profit is in the having the circumcision? Well, God committed unto you the oracles of God. God lets you be born in a country where you can hear the Word of God and have freedom of worship. So you could go in later on in chapter 9, he talks about other blessings. And so Paul and the unbelieving Jews agreed. Listen to this. The unbelieving Jewish person, the religious man that was a Jew, he agreed that being Jew was good and had its advantages, but they didn't see eye to eye on what the advantages meant. Because what the religious Jew thought, he meant that'll get him into heaven. That'll have him good standing with God. That's why Paul is writing the book of Romans. He's writing about salvation. He is making the case that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can I tell you, whether you're a heathen, whether you're a hypocrite, whether you're religious, whether you're a Hebrew, all have sinned. You're a sinner. And you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. So the Jews, they took the privilege as liberty to live as they wanted to. And you know what? That's what a lot of people in our culture do. They take the liberty that's been given to them in freedom to decide, I can live any way I want. You can't do that. Paul said the privileges meant, listen, great responsibility. And again, that's going to be mainly the message next week. And the truth conveyed in these verses is relevant to us today because we need to remember that we have been given the privilege of living where we do, but yet being an American does not mean we're saved. Does not mean we have a relationship with God. Now here's what he meant by when he said the Jews had a great heritage. Look at verse number 17. He said, you call yourself a Jew. Behold, thou art called a Jew. Now I want you to understand this. The Jews took great pride in the fact that they were the children of Abraham. If you don't believe that, go back and read John chapter number 8 when Jesus is dealing with the Jews about their need of salvation. And they say, hey, we're of Abraham's seed. And Jesus said, that's not good enough. In fact, let's just do that. Go to Romans chapter number 8. In Romans, John chapter number 8, not Romans. John chapter number 8. Look at the dialogue that's going on here between Jesus Christ and those very religious Jewish people of the day. He said in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, said, oh, listen, we be of Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Here they are. They're arguing with Jesus over their sin, over their sinful condition. And he said, Jesus answered them in verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. I'm telling you, this is almost like Romans chapter number 2 talking to the Jew. All have sinned. And then verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And by the way, if you get saved by God's grace, man, you've been set free. Free from your sin. Free from the penalty of sin. Now, verse 37, Jesus says, I know that ye are of Abraham's seed. But ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And ye do that which you've seen of your father. Now here we go. Sunday school lesson. He's telling them, you're of your father, the devil. You have no relationship with me. But here's what they did. They appealed to their nationality. They appealed, if I could put you like this, to their religion. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Abraham is our father. They were very proud that Abraham was their father. But Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. What were the works of Abraham? I'll tell you what the works of Abraham was. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. He had faith. And then he says, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. So anyhow, I'm just telling you, he said, you know what Jesus said? He said the same thing Paul's saying. Just because you're a Jew, just because you have a great heritage, just because you are the father, Abraham is your father, does not mean you're not a sinner. Doesn't mean that. This morning, I'm just a little bit ahead of my Bible reading, and I was in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I'm telling you, I just could not but be overwhelmed. I just read over my message. I did that before I read my Bible this morning, and I was reading my message. I was going over it in my mind. I was thinking about these things. And lo and behold, I read Deuteronomy chapter 4. And Deuteronomy chapter 4 is really God telling the nation of Israel, you got great privileges. He says, you've got verse number 6. He told them they had wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes. There it is again. That's what he's telling them here. You've got these statutes. Surely this nation is wise and understanding people. I've given you the truth. For what nation is there so great, verse 7, who hath God so nigh unto them that the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon for Him? And then he said in verse 9, teach these things to your sons and your sons' sons, and hear my words that you may learn to fear upon the earth. He's just going through, hey, listen, I've given you all of these privileges. But then he would say to them, but if you fail to heed the privileges, if you fail to heed the Word of God, then I will send these things upon you. I will put you, I will scatter you throughout all the nations. Hey, listen, we have been given great privilege in this country. And we squandered it. And we're squandering it more and more every day. We have the ability to invite people to church, but how many people do we invite? We have the ability to witness, but do we witness? Is everybody with me this morning? We act sometimes like the religious Jews. I'm just telling you, we've got great heritage. We've got great responsibility. Then he said this. He said this also back in our text. He said, makest thy boast of God. You make yourself, you make a boast of God. That, you know what that means? That means that they felt very proud about who they were. They were very high and they very haughty. Their boast that, hey, we're God's chosen people. But you know what Jesus said? Listen, you know what Jesus said in John 8? He didn't say it like this, but here's how I look at it. He said, your boasting is in vain. Or maybe it would be like this. Your boasting is empty. Because the Jews thought that they were guaranteed a place in heaven based on this covenant relationship that God had with Abraham and that they came from Abraham. You know what Paul's arguing is? Being a Jew is not going to be good enough when you stand before God. Now, verse number 18, look at this. And knowest His will? Look at this. You call yourself a Jew. You make us a boast of God. You knowest His will. You know the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law. You know what he's saying? You have a great privilege. You got the law. You got the Old Testament. What a great privilege. What a great heritage a person has if they have the Word of God. Hey, listen to me. If you grow up in church, that's a great privilege. If your parents bring you to church since you were a little wee little lad in the nursery, that's a great privilege. But you have to do something with it. You can't just decide I'm going to do whatever I want. No, you need to be saved by God's grace. But it is a great privilege. What a great privilege to be born into a home where your parents know Christ and where they want the best for you. What a great privilege. Think about the Jews. They had the law in their home. It was a part of their life. They had great privilege to grow up in a home where God's Word is taught. Verse number 18 tells us there's a problem, or verse 18 tells us that there's great privilege, but it also tells us there's a great problem. Look at verse 18 again. It says, verse 17, you retest in the law. That means that they believed because the law had been revealed to them that they had special standing with God. No, it just means you got great privilege that God revealed it to you. But you have to accept it into your own life. So the trouble is, they had the law. Here's the trouble. They didn't honor it. Now, he uses three things to show them how they did not honor that. Three ways that they were great sinners. He says, and it reminds me of Matthew 15 when Jesus said, when he spoke about this, he spoke about the Jewish people and the Pharisees and such. He said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. But then what did he say? But their heart is far from me. All right. Verse number 19 says that they were confident. Look at this. Oh my, can you imagine being confident but being wrong? Look at verse 19. Thou art confident that thyself are a guide of the blind. You know what Jesus said about that? He said, leave them alone. The blind will lead the blind and they both shall fall into the ditch. So they thought they were spiritual, but in reality, what were they? Sinners. And He exposes them as sinners in verse 21 through verse number 23. First of all, He says, now listen, you think that you teach another, teachest not yourself? Listen, make sure if you're going to teach somebody something out of the Bible that you're doing it yourself. Well, that got real quiet. Because here's what He says. You preach a man should not steal, but you steal. Now, this is interesting that this is the very first thing that He says to them. He says, you say, thou shalt not steal. Now, listen, in the Ten Commandments, the Bible makes it very clear, thou shalt not steal. So they go, well, I'd never steal anything from a man. But let me tell you something about the Jewish person, and I'll give you a scripture from the Bible, what God said. But even though they were good at telling everyone how to live, they failed to live up to their own preaching. They boasted of a superior standing with God, but they broke every law and gloried in it. And here's what I mean by that when he says the Jew in the ancient world, listen to this, and I'm not being prejudiced in any way, I'm sure I'm not. But the Jewish person was known in the ancient world for being sneaky and shrewd in business practices. He would use every method he could to get a few extra pennies from his customer. And this got him in trouble with God because God said this in Hosea. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand and he loveth to oppress. So he would squeeze everything he could out of somebody, even to the place where God said, you're stealing from somebody. Let me tell you something, my friend. It's never going to hurt you to be generous. I don't think being stingy is a good thing, personally. I don't think trying to squeeze the last dollar out of somebody. I don't think, I mean, you can say, well, I'm frugal. Well, there's a difference between, hey, they thought they were frugal and they ended up being thieves. Let me give you a great example. Christians go to the restaurant and everybody sees them bow their head in prayer. And then they don't like the service. Maybe it's not so good. Maybe it takes you 45 minutes to get your lunch and you can be aggravated. And so you go, well, I'm not going to tip them. But yet they saw you pray. Do me a favor. Don't leave a track with a small little dollar tip or whatever it might be. You're going to leave it. You know what I'm saying? Because that, let me look at verse 24. The name of God will be blasphemed.
Amen.
Boy, this is kind of coming down where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? You see, the Jews of the Old Testament would not dare in any way go out and steal something because the law was clear. But yet God just said, well, you take every advantage you can to do something. You know, we read about this in the paper, you know, somebody rolls the... They go to an odometer and they roll it back and they try to tell somebody that has 1,000 miles and got 100,000 miles. That's stealing. That's thievery. People try to take, cut corners and then say, well, that's just my business. No, that's stealing.
Amen.
You see, you wouldn't go out to Walmart and steal something out, but you'll do business practices that are not right. And so I'm just telling you, they did dishonest in their business and God said, you think because of your spiritual religious heritage of a Jew that you don't steal because the Bible says, but you do. He uses another example of adultery. Paul understood how that the Jewish man in many ways would use the law to their advantage rather than living the way the law was supposed to be lived. And instead of being a faithful husband, they'd put their wife away just so they could do it. And then he spoke of idolatry in verse 22 also. He says, not only do you steal and you commit adultery, but then he said, thou abhorrest idols and then you commit sacrilege. Now think about this. He said, to set up an idol is the worst thing in the world that a Jewish person could do. And we would never do that. We would never set up an idol, a statue, a false god. But you know what? It goes further than that because an idol is anything that takes the place of God in your life.
Amen.
I've seen people worship their job over God. I've seen people worship their children over God. I've seen people worship education over God. I've seen people worship possessions over God. I've seen people worship fashion over God. And the bottom line is anything that moves God out of first place in your life is an idol. So you say, so nobody in America, I don't think, not many people in an independent Baptist church would go to somewhere and have a little idol molded and put it on your mantle and every morning get down and bow down and worship to it. But you'll put other things in your life and you'll worship those things. And you see what God's saying? You think you're so righteous? You think you're so religious? Paul's basically saying to the Jew, you won't go down to the pagan temple and worship false gods, but what you do with your tithes and offerings? That's what he meant by sacrilege. Because he said, dost thou commit sacrilege? The word sacrilege carries the idea of taking something that somebody else owns and using it for yourself. And this was a practice that was a major sin. I mean, think about the very last book of the Old Testament. God said, will a man rob God? They go, we don't rob God. And they go, yeah, you do. You've robbed me with your tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. And these religious Jews abhorred idolatry. But they committed the worst kind of idolatry. They became their own gods. They put themselves above God. They robbed. They used His tithes and offerings for their own purposes. Wow. People do that today too. But yet they think, oh, well, I'm religious. And the result is found in verse number 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Then he goes on to talk about circumcision. I'm going to put that in I'm going to put that real quick to say this. And when he talks about circumcision, here's the bottom line is the Jews connected circumcision with salvation. I mean, they thought that, listen, we do what God says in the law, we're going to be okay. That was a mark of the covenant with Abraham and his descendants. And I'm going to tell you right now, just write it down. There's no salvation in circumcision. There's no salvation in baptism. There's no salvation in hanging on. There's no salvation in speaking in tongues. There's no salvation in good works. Period. There's no salvation. And no matter what work they did or what attitude they have, they were sinners. And the result was that God's name is blasphemed. And the God of the Jews meant nothing to the Gentile world because they saw what they did. You see, you can say one thing, but if you do another, God's name will be blasphemed. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 23, and I want to read this, two verses. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Listen to this. This is amazing. For you will compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you'll make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. A twofold child of the devil yourself. I know that's kind of paraphrased, but here's the bottom line. Religion, 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 no salvation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now let me just tell you something. These people who were so privileged were not only going to go to hell. Jesus said, you're taking the world with you because of your actions. It was a blot on the name of God. Their very lives contradicted their profession. The world can spot a fake and see right through it. The lost want nothing to do with fake. Everybody with me? You know what the bottom line is? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And just because you have a great heritage does not mean that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Just because you boast that you know God, just because you know that you're a Jew, God's chosen people, that's not salvation. Being religious does not mean you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As we'll see next week, listen, great privilege brings great responsibility. Now let me close by saying it like this. So you reject Christ as Savior. you stand before God in judgment. He's going to look right at you and say, "Didn't you go to Berean Baptist Church?" "Yes, sir." "Didn't you hear the messages about religion and sin? Didn't you hear about the personal relationship you needed with my Son, who I sent into the world, that He went to the cross and He died for the sins of all mankind, including you? Didn't your parents bring you to church?" "Yes." "Didn't they bring you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord?" "Yes." "Why didn't you use that great privilege to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved?" Amen. And you know what God will say? "You have no excuse."
Amen.
Heathen don't have any excuse. Then surely, much more, the religious man has no excuse. In fact, I don't even know if this is right theologically, but you have less excuse than they do.
That's right.
And God said they have no excuse. That means you have no excuse.
Amen.
You must be born again.
Amen.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has made a way for us to be saved.
Amen.
Wow, I'm thankful I was not born in other cultures.
Right.
Now, we're not a perfect culture by any stretch of the imagination. But we have great privileges.
Amen.
And with great privileges, we have responsibility. We have a responsibility to be right with God. We have a responsibility to keep the Word of God. We have a responsibility to live a holy life. We have a responsibility to be servants of the Lord. We have a responsibility to the gospel. We have a responsibility to missions. So we need to take advantage of the privilege that's been given to us. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't listen to the messages week after week and ignore what God's trying to do in your life. If God shows you your need of salvation, God shows you that you're a sinner and you've never repented and trusted Christ as your Savior, may God help you. May God convict you. May God show you. May God draw you to Him so that you can be saved before it's too late. Well, preacher, how do you know it might be too late? Well, the song that was sang this morning, tomorrow we could be in glory. Tomorrow the Lord could come back. We do not know when the Lord is coming back. We just know that it's the next event on His calendar. It's called the imminent return. It means we don't know when it is. Only God. So we need to make sure that we take advantage of responsibilities. The Jew had great advantage, but they did not use it. And they went into captivity. And today we live in the time where they've rejected Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as their Messiah. Now, the Bible's very clear. God's not done with the Jew. He will convict people. Many will be saved. They will come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I'm just telling you right now, it's kind of a sidebar. It doesn't mean anybody can be saved. A Jew can be saved. Gentile can be saved. Any sinner can be saved. But boy, we have great advantage. Would you take account of that advantage today? Heavenly Father, thank You for the message, the book of Romans, the very simple message that all have sinned, whether it is those that reject God in a very reprobate way, or those that are religious, or those that are who think they are good enough, or those who are self-righteous. God, help us to understand. All of this covers all the areas of really all cultures, all areas, all people. And we know that Paul is making his case so that he can say in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God, do what only You can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing page 268. Brother Brian.